Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
What's going on, everybody? And good morning. Today is Wednesday, November 6th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And well, you know, I was thinking about this before I recorded. I always try to keep the illusion up that I'm recording this the day of, which is silly because it's posted at 4 a.m. in the morning. Obviously, I'm not up at 3 a.m. like James is recording a podcast. But I feel like today it's especially important to note that I am recording this on a Tuesday prior to the election results. So welcome to whatever world we live in on a Wednesday morning. It's kind of crazy. I think as you guys listen to this, you know who the next president's going to be. I am still unaware who the next president is going to be, but that's not what we're talking about today. We are here to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, who turn a page of their own. You like that right there? Turn a page of their own on Wednesday as they officially get ready to start the work for the week for the Dallas Cowboys. Wednesday, the first practice the team will have. We're going to hear from Nick Sirianni. We'll get an update on AJ. And I got a lot to get into today with you guys. Obviously, the trade deadline was on Tuesday. There were some moves made, not by the Eagles, and the coordinators talk. So let's get right into it. What to be on the lookout for today on the schedule. Nick Sirianni starts. Will be speaking to the media at 12:10. I'm sure, you know, he will be asked once again about the decisions he made, probably talk a little Dallas, Goddard and Cowboys, actually. But that'll be at 12:10 a.m. So make sure to tune in for onto WIP because I'm sure they'll be playing that for you guys. And of course, as always, check out your favorite beat writer's Twitter account, who will have updates for you from there. At 3:05, practice begins. This will be our first chance to see if AJ is going to be out there. AJ, of course, considered day-to-day after suffering that injury against the knee injury against the Jaguars. My guess is we will not be seeing AJ out there. I think he probably won't play against Dallas, but I'd like to be wrong because it would certainly be nice to see this team at full strength for another week in a row and keep that momentum going. So that's at 3:05. That'll be our first potential AJ update. And then 4:45, the locker room opens. Jalen Hurts will be speaking. And so then potentially we hear from AJ. I'd be pretty surprised if we heard from AJ on Wednesday, but that's yet then another chance to maybe get some new news on AJ. So the injury report, it's really just AJ at this point. I think there's a pretty good chance we're going to see Dallas Goedert back this week. We'll see if he's out there at practice on Wednesday. But yeah, AJ Brown, the team avoided, you know, kind of disaster because had they lost AJ for a while, they could have been in some serious trouble. But it looks like even if he doesn't play against Dallas, I think there's a pretty good chance he'll be out there Thursday night against Washington and what is obviously going to set up to be a huge game for this team. They could be in first place in the NFC East if they were to go out and win these next two games. First one against the Cowboys, very winnable. And then, of course, that Washington game, a winnable one as well, especially at home. And I look forward to previewing that game. Of course, Dallas is first. But, man, that Washington game is going to be a lot of fun. So Let's get into what you might have missed on Tuesday, which was a pretty busy day, I'd imagine, for lots of people. Vic Fangio, Kellen Moore, and Michael Clay talked to the media. And we'll start with Vic Fangio, as we always do, because he talks first. For those that don't know, and I'd be surprised if that's literally any of you guys, but for those that don't know, Dak Prescott won't be playing on Sunday against the Eagles. He's expected to be out at least 4 weeks. It looks like he'll be headed to IR, which means Cooper Rush will be starting at quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. The Eagles, of course, haven't won in Dallas for 7 years, so this clearly increases their chances of finally getting a win at Jerry World. And fun fact, I think the last time they won in Dallas, 2017, they won the Super Bowl that year. So potentially a sign of good things to come if the Eagles can win on Sunday. But Vic Fangio was asked about the potential difference between Dak Prescott and Cooper Rush, and here's what he had to say.
How much do you anticipate the Cowboys offense changing with Dak Prescott out and Cooper Rush potentially?
I don't think it will change a whole lot. You know, Rush has been there a long time. He knows the offense as well as anybody there does, and he'll operate it efficiently.
So I wouldn't expect to say anything less. Obviously, he is somebody that keeps things pretty honest, and I think there's some truth to it. Like, Dak is not a super mobile quarterback. I think Dak is better than Cooper Rush, but Dak has not played well this year. Cooper Rush is someone that when he's played in the past, he's had some success getting the ball to CeeDee Lamb. He's scored some points for the team. I think there was 1 year he went like 3-0 as a starter or something like that. So I still think it's a game they should win with Dak out. It's a game they should be expected to win. But it is also a game that I think at this point, like, you can't walk in and just think you're going to win it. Like, the Cowboys now get to play a card, which they don't often get to play. It's like the underdog, nobody believes in us card, like without Dak Prescott there. Now, it looks like Micah Parsons will be back, which is probably a bigger deal in some ways than the Dak thing. Although probably not. Now that I say it, it's probably not a bigger deal. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much different the offense looks without Dak Prescott. And look, it could be a spark of change or adrenaline or a spark of energy that this team, this Cowboys team, needs to get going. So it'll be interesting to see how that game plays out on Sunday, obviously. Next up, Kellen Moore spoke to the media, and I, of course, wanted to ask him this because it's something I find very interesting. And we talked about it in the podcast on Tuesday about how, you know, the Eagles have turned into more of a run-first offense on early down. So early on in the year, and I'll get to the numbers in a second after Kellen, early on in the year, they were passing the ball more, or right about 50-50, than they were running it. Now they've become a much more run-heavy team on first down. So here is what Kellen Moore had to say about why they made that change. And I also wanted to ask him about how involved Nick Sirianni is in a big change like that. So here's what Kellen Moore had to say.
So you guys are running it more on early downs post-bye than you were before the bye week. I'm curious, is that just a situational thing with the opponents, or is that something at the bye week you guys decided you wanted to do more of?
We're constantly trying to evaluate our rhythm throughout each and every game, and felt like some of the run game on early downs has obviously generated some very positive situations. I feel like we've put ourselves in more manageable third downs because of how we've played first and second down. The play-action game is obviously still critical to those situations. I think when you are able to tie those two together from a presentation and a threat standpoint, huge advantages. Obviously, we're running the football well at times, and so when you do have that ability to control the line of scrimmage and our guys can just run off the ball and play physical, and you definitely want to embrace that.
So the reason I wanted to ask about Nick's involvement is because I think that, and this has been the case all year, so it's nothing new, but I think that oftentimes, like, Kellen gets the credit for anything good on offense, Jalen does, and Nick just doesn't often get credit. And I don't want to do the whole give him credit thing. But I guess what I wanted to point out with this and why I wanted to ask Kellen is, like, when they're, like, Nick is still very involved in the offense. Like, when it comes to big time philosophical changes in terms of we're going to become a running team on first and second down, like, yeah, Nick is very involved in that. In fact, I would argue, and this is just my guess based off the numbers, that it's probably Nick's call to do something like that. Like, Kellen Moore calls the plays, but Nick, I think, still has a ton of input on what they are as a team. And the numbers that I referenced to back that up, in case you didn't get a chance to listen to Tuesday's pod, is that, so in 2024, the first four games of the season, like I said, they were basically 50-50. They were throwing it on early passing downs 51% of the time. post bye week. So they had the bye week. They talked to the players. Lane Johnson said that he talked to the coach and brought up, you know, how in that 2021, that Detroit game, how they kind of switched things up. Since the bye week, they are 32nd in the NFL in passes on early downs. 39% of the time they've been passing it, which means 60% of the time they've been running it. So a 10% change in how often they're running the ball early on in downs. In 2021, when Nick was here, key point here, weeks 1 through 7, week 8 was the Detroit game. If you remember, that's where they turned things around. So weeks 1 through 7, 61% of the time they were passing on early downs. That was 7th in the NFL. Week 8 through the end of the season, so after that Detroit game through the end of the year, they were passing it on only 43% of early downs. That was 29th. So while Kellen has a lot to say in the offense, he calls plays, he brings schematic advantages, like all those things. When he was in Dallas, they were basically 50-50 over the 4 years Kellen was in Dallas. So this isn't one season or like over 4 years of Kellen being the main play caller there. They were passing it on early downs essentially 50% of the time. It's 52-48. When Nick Sirianni was here in 2021, they had that big time change. In 2024, they've again had that big time change. So Jalen is playing better. The offense is moving. And I think Nick deserves some credit there, right? I mean, Nick clearly, along with Kellen and along with the players, decided that it was important to, you know, maybe switch things up. And I think it's been productive so far. So I'm sure it's something that we'll talk about throughout the season. You know, do they need to pass it more? Is it a concern that they don't pass? Like all those conversations will happen. But since they've made this switch, they're undefeated and Jalen hasn't really even come close to turning the ball over, maybe 2 or 3 times in, you know, 200 offensive plays or whatever it is over the last 4 weeks. So I thought that was interesting. And speaking of Jalen not turning the ball over, Kellen Moore was asked about that as well, and how Jalen has, you know, now gone 5 straight games without an interception. Here is what Kellen Moore had to say.
Jalen clearly has no turnover since the bye. But what has gone into making sure he doesn't put the ball in harm's way, which is part of the reason why he's a turnover?
So much credit to Jalen and just his process. He's doing an excellent job throughout the week. Preparing, making excellent decisions on game day. He's aggressive. He's still aggressive. He's given ourselves opportunities downfield. I think we've been able to create some really, really positive, explosive plays in the past game. And we haven't lost any of that while he's still protecting the football. And so all the credit goes to him and making excellent decisions.
I think one thing that I definitely want to point out off of that answer, I want to be clear about, because I think after a lot of games, Nick Sirianni becomes a talking point, right? And it's, you know, Elliot, you think Sirianni's a great coach and I don't, or whatever it is. But I do want to be clear. Like, as big of a role as Nick has in this team winning, Jalen Hurts has a bigger role. Jalen Hurts is the most important player in that building when it comes to their success. Like, AJ obviously is super important and we could get into that debate. In fact, I would argue AJ is more important. But regardless, like, Jalen not turning the ball over 5 games, whether it was a schematic coaching change, like, all those things help. Jalen is the one that deserves credit for that. Jalen is the one who has played better these last 5 weeks. Jalen is the one who I've said now a few times, I think might be playing the best football he's played for the Eagles when you consider his pre-snap responsibilities he has now that he didn't have before. So yes, I think Nick doesn't get enough credit. I think people are harsh on Nick. But if you said to me, who is, like, ultimately has the most credit for these 4 games, like, it's Jalen. Jalen not turning the ball over has turned this season around. And while the coaches can give him advice and they can do schematic things and those help, it is Jalen out there making decisions. Jalen's the one that has to execute it. Jalen is the one that is being smart with the football. And it can't be stressed enough that this season has turned around because of Jalen Hurts taking care of the football. And we'll see how far he can go. He's 5 games now without an interception. You know, I think he's getting pretty close to career throws without an interception, but that is a story for another podcast. But I just wanted to make that clear because there's been a lot of Nick Sirianni talk, and I don't want you guys to ever think that, like, I don't think Jalen deserves a ton of credit. Jalen deserves a ton of credit for what has happened over these last 4 games. So, on the other side, I wanted to obviously talk about the trade deadline, a trade deadline that not super interesting for the Eagles, which we'll talk about, but pretty interesting for 2 teams that the Eagles are going to be competing with to go to the Super Bowl. So on the other side, we're going to talk about that. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
So Howie Roseman not making a trade is always going to be a surprising thing. He had the draft picks to do it. He had the cap space to do it. He had the incentive to do it. I am surprised he didn't match some of the offers that were out there. So I think what makes it even more frustrating for Eagles fans is that the two teams that are likely going to be the biggest hurdles to getting to the Super Bowl, the Detroit Lions and the Washington Commanders, both went out and added arguably the two best players traded at the trade deadline. You could certainly kind of dispute that. And I know neither player in theory is what they used to be. But when Howie sits around with those draft picks and that cap space and doesn't make a move, that's surprising. Obviously, there must have been evaluations from either the coaching staff or the front office that they felt the players that were available couldn't help them. I think that's especially noteworthy when it comes to some of the edge rushers that were moved. And if that's the case, then you have to listen to your coaches. I mean, they went and they signed Bryce Huff. It doesn't seem like Vic's the biggest fan of Bryce's game. And now that's a signing that's not turning out well. So ultimately, Howie can sit there and say, okay, it's available to acquire this player for a fifth and a sixth round pick. But if the coaches don't really like the play or don't feel like it's going to be a big impact, I think there is some level of you have to respect Howie's ability not just to pull the trigger. Like, obviously, Howie's doing a lot this time of year. He's preparing for the draft next year. Like, there's roster changes being made all the time. But this is kind of like the last real chance for Howie to change the roster. And the fact that he didn't do it, considering the 4-game winning streak, the six and two record that they have, is surprising. But I think what, like I said, will add to the frustration from fans is that the two teams that are their main competition did go out and make moves. So let's talk about the two moves that were made. Marshawn Lattimore, the cornerback from New Orleans, is traded to the Commanders. The Commanders get Lattimore and a fifth round pick. The Saints get a third round pick, which, to just, you know, drive the pain deeper, is the Eagles' third round pick that got them Jahan Dotson, a fourth round pick and a sixth round pick. So Marshawn Lattimore, that's a non-substantial package give up. A third, a fourth, and a sixth. I mean, that's something, right? Like, that's the middle of the round, essentially, for the Commanders. So Marshawn Lattimore, obviously, at one point, was one of the best corners in the NFL, was a stud for a really long time. He's not quite that anymore. According to Pro Football Focus, he's 25th in the NFL in coverage among cornerbacks. But for Washington, he is a considerable upgrade. Washington is 21st in yards allowed per catch right now. They're 18th in yards allowed. Oh, sorry. They're 21st in yards allowed per pass, 18th in yards allowed per catch. And their corners are just not that good. Like, while Marshawn Lattimore is ranked 25th, which is not 10 or 15 or whatever, like, he's ranked higher, considerably higher than all the other corners they have. So if I'm Washington, I would make this trade. It's a position of weakness. You are a team that is surprisingly good. You have a chance to not only go to the playoffs, which is something Washington doesn't do often, but win in the playoffs, which is obviously something Washington hasn't done in a long time. So I think it's a smart play from Washington. And I saw a lot of, like, oh, who cares? Eagles have AJ Brown and Devontae. Yeah, that's true, but you would rather the opposing team not have better players. And so Washington acquiring Marshawn Lattimore is like not good news for the Eagles. It just isn't. I mean, now there are going to be tougher corners that are going to be covering AJ and Devontae. Well, obviously one or the other than there were before. So Marshawn Lattimore, I'd assume, is going to play on Thursday night when the Eagles play Washington. And look, maybe AJ will light one of them up. AJ will light Marshawn Lattimore up. Maybe Devontae will. Like, they are better players than Marshawn Lattimore is. But you still don't want to see a team that's in your division that is now, without question, the biggest opponent to winning the division acquire a better player. So surprised that with that happening, Howie didn't pull the trigger and maybe go get an extra edge rusher or anything like that. Speaking of edge rushers, the other big move that's impactful to the Eagles is Za'Darius Smith, who we've talked a ton about on this pod, goes to the Detroit Lions. The Lions get Smith and a 2026 seventh round pick. The Browns get a 2025 fifth and a 2026 sixth. Now, I am really surprised Howie didn't do this. A fifth and a sixth, like, you can collect those on draft night for almost free. And I trust Howie's evaluation of like what a player is worth. That is one thing he's very good at. But not only do they not get Za'Darius Smith, who would help them out, and Za'Darius Smith is still a very good player. He's, you know, I think he has one more hit, hurry, sack this year than Josh Sweat. And you can say, well, Sweat hasn't been that good, but Sweat is like top 25 in the league in combined hits, hurries, and sacks. So you would have added another top 25 edge rusher, by theory, in the NFL right now, according to Pro Football Focus. Like, not only do you not add that to your roster, not to mention Bryce Huff is dealing with some type of wrist injury, but not only do you not add that to your roster, you also watch that player go to the Lions. Now, the Lions, obviously, I think at this point deserve the top spot in the NFC based off how they played this year, based off what they did last year, just based off their roster. Like, they, I think, are the top dogs in the NFC. But if there's one weakness they had, it's that they lost Aiden Hutchinson. And so now, like, Za'Darius Smith isn't Aiden Hutchinson, but you've allowed your top opponent in the conference to go out and add the top player acquired at the deadline at their biggest position of need. Like, if the Eagles are playing the Lions in the conference championship game, whether that be in Detroit or Philadelphia or whenever they play them in the playoffs, if they play them, if Za'Darius Smith has a big game, like, that is, it's going to kill the Eagles that they didn't give up that fifth and sixth round pick. Even if he wasn't going to play here a ton, which I think he would have, the fact that, you know, you didn't stop that player from going to Detroit. And maybe there are other things involved. Maybe he didn't want to come to Philadelphia. Maybe he wanted to go to Detroit. Maybe the agent is telling Howie don't do the deal. Maybe the Lions are going to give him a new, like, there's all types of things. But on surface level, the ability that, like, if you had the ability to beat that offer by giving two fifths instead of a fifth and a sixth, or one conditional fourth, like, just really blow the offer out, I'm surprised Howie didn't do it. So that'll do it for today's podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. Like I said, I'm recording this on a Tuesday. Excited to wake up Wednesday and see what world you guys are living in and see who the next president is. That's pretty crazy. No matter where you fall on it, we will have a new presidential nominee in theory this time tomorrow when you're listening. So, as always, love you guys and appreciate you all listening. And as I always say, he's Elliot, I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.